Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's summer golf wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Good on you, Wallace. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful day yesterday. And of course, now it's Man Christmas, the Boxing Day test, which is what all men in Australia celebrate. It is like a holy day for us today, and we hope that you've got an opportunity to drive your car around or stop in the lunch break, maybe take in a little bit of the Sydney Hobart Yacht Race, but of course, take in all of our takes on golf. To take me through all of her takes on golf is Sophie Hilditch. Soph, g'day.
Hey, Ben. How are you going? How was your Christmas?
Excellent. I hosted the family yesterday. Then we popped off to my sister's last night. All went smoothly. Molly had a great time. There is yet more CRAP in and amongst all of our furniture around the house. It is, we've got, you know, toy cars and toy trains and you name it. There is a litany of things that kids can play on. I reckon we should just call ourselves a playground. We are no longer a house. We are a kids' entertainment venue. But we've had a great day. How about yours?
Yeah, it was beautiful. Thank you. I actually hosted Christmas for the first time at the new house.
Wow. Did you cook or did Darcy?
Darcy definitely didn't cook, but it was a teamed effort. Darcy's mum brought a fair bit of food, which was very handy.
Hang on. You cannot let Darcy off with the comment, yeah, it was a team effort because Darcy's mum brought food. That does not qualify.
Yeah, sorry. Darcy actually did absolutely nothing apart from cleaned up, and that's about it. Darcy's mum did the heavy lifting, and I helped out where needed. I worked all the way up till Christmas Eve, so I didn't have much time. I was running around Christmas Eve night trying to pick up all the food and do everything, so it was a bit of a nightmare, a bit hectic. And then today, I actually have Christmas with my family on Boxing Day, and it's going to be a very different Christmas. I have all the little nieces and nephews running around, and I'm sure Auntie Soph is about to become a bit of a novelty, and I think I'm going to be run off my feet whilst my brothers and their partners just palm off the kids to me.
Hopefully you find some time for some test match, Soph, which leads me into my first question for you. What did you make of the third test, Adelaide Oval, the Christmas test? Australia wins the Ashes, but I think the real winner was the South Australian Cricket Association, who have put on an incredible event once again.
Well, it was incredible, but a five-day test. I mean, isn't that exciting? Oh, fancy that after, what, 2 days, and was the second one 3 and a bit? Or was it only 3 days? I can't remember
now. We've had one test that's gone past lunch on day four in the last 6 years.
Yeah, just incredible. I loved every moment, Ben. And do you know what? It was actually really exciting on the fourth day. I was getting a little bit nervous for our Australian boys and all Australian fans like myself. I think the English really did show up, and it probably doesn't look as tight as it was, but it was pretty tight there for a second, particularly if, you know, Archer could get some runs going like he did in the first innings. So I was a little bit nervous, but very happy to see that Australia has won the Ashes. But still looking forward to the Boxing Day test to see whether or not England can kind of redeem themselves a little bit. But you know what? Why don't we just do a whitewash with Australia and go 5-0?
I've got a question for you, Soph. After everything that we experienced for the Christmas test at Adelaide Oval, how on earth do we go back to a pink ball?
Yeah, I actually don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough after seeing that 5 days with the red ball, isn't it? And how exciting it was. I don't know how we go back to a pink ball test. What are your thoughts on that?
We ticked every box, Soph. So the patronage has been remarkable at Adelaide Oval, and that's not just the members. It's an incredibly large membership base now, more than 30,000 people. But that doesn't mean that there's a crowd of 37. We're still getting 53, 55, 56 day in, day out. The pitch, which has been a feature of Adelaide Oval for pretty much time immemorial, Soph, back in the days of Arthur Lance through to Les Burdett, and now more recently Damien Hoff. That pitch just plays perfectly for cricket. You can score hundreds. If you're a good fast bowler, you can get batters out bowling quickly. And conversely, if you're a good spinner, you can get people out as well. Everyone's playing. All 11 people are playing. Unfortunately, that's not always the case with the pink ball. We have incredible climate in December for test match cricket. The weather was spot on. Yeah, maybe a little bit hot on day two, but overall, no rain. A little bit of rain on day five, wasn't there? But almost no rain. Weather was perfect. It is exactly the sort of conditions you want to play test match cricket in. The facilities at Adelaide Oval are first class. We've got the hill. We've got the scoreboard. So you've got that working class element to it, but then you still have wonderful corporate venues and great spots to watch. The village green at the back, everything ticks a box. And then, so if we just have this staggeringly, that's something that I'm staggeringly proud of, and that's the test match culture that we have in South Australia. There are so many people that you wouldn't believe love test cricket, and you bump into them at the test match and they're there in the line at 7 o'clock because they want to get their perfect seats. And you think, oh, I didn't even know you like cricket. Love cricket. Absolutely love it. Just the dedication amongst the rank and file Adelaide person to test match cricket is truly tremendous. So we don't want to spend too much time on this, but look, to the board and staff of the South Australian Cricket Association, there is nothing other than glowing praise for them and everything they've done. Will Rayner, Daniel Harris, President and Vice President, Charlie Hodgson, the CEO. I sort of compare them to an AFL football club, and I think, my goodness, these guys are just absolutely doing it for the right reasons. You don't see them trying to elbow themselves into some sort of media press conference where they don't need to be. You don't see them doing the rounds of radio when there's absolutely no necessity to it. And in the meantime, since these three guys have been steering the ship, we've won the Sheffield Shield, we've won the One Day Cup. Not so long ago, we won two women's Big Bash League titles. We've won the under-19 men, we've won the under-12 women. Karen Rolton Oval has become an outright brilliant venue in its own right. And not many people would be aware of this. They've developed their own business, which is more AOSMA than SACA, of course. But Adelaide Oval Turf Solutions is now going global. They've done cricket pitches for the World Cup in the US. They're now the stadium managers for GMHBA Stadium, the home of the Geelong Football Club. And I think you'll continue to see Adelaide Oval Turf Solutions growing and prospering around the place. So what Adelaide Oval and SACA have done is mind-blowingly impressive, and it's right under our noses, Soph. We should be so proud.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it much better than what you just did then, Ben. I totally agree. Do you know the other thing that I thought was really cool that they did out in the back of the village green? Can't remember what day it was now that the Strikers played. It could have even been that insanely hot day on the Thursday. But the village green actually stayed open, and on all the TV screens, they showed the Strikers, which I just thought was awesome. Just giving more cricket to the people, because that's exactly what we needed in a 5-day test.
Of course, yeah. And then, the 23rd, a couple of nights ago, we were all back there again. There's 25,000 in the crowd, and they kept the village green open as well. So,
yep.
Yeah. If historically, I've had some criticisms of South Australian cricket going back maybe 15 years, but you could not find anything to grizzle about now. I know that one or two of the members thought on day one it was pretty hard to get a seat, and I understand the challenges around that when you've got so many members and everyone wants to be there for the first ball. But by and large, it has been a very, very impressive period of time. The last 2-3 years for the South Australian Cricket Association, they are getting so much right. So if we've got so much to talk about this week, let's leave Sophie Starr and Ben's Best to the new year. However, we learnt only a week ago that the North Adelaide Golf Course have released its plans for the redevelopment, the Greg Norman design, $45 million. Difficult to really make it out, but what were your first impressions?
My first impressions are, and always will be, I do think it's a really good idea, and I'm really happy that North Adelaide is getting a revamp. I think it's needed. I think South Australia do need a golf course in the CBD. We need a good driving range to encourage people to come to the game and learn about it. The more, the merrier. So I'm still really excited about the prospect of having a decent public course in the CBD. And it is a rarity around Australia to have something like that. But I've got to admit, Ben, you're right, it is kind of hard to tell what they're doing from all the animations that we've been given. But I'm not that impressed by it. I mean, they're keeping a lot of the original corridors that we're seeing. They're only removing, which I know a lot of people will be excited about, but they're only removing about 585 trees. I just don't think it's going to look like a standard Greg Norman, open, wide, fairways, linksy kind of course. I'm just a bit scared that there's not going to be a whole heap of changes. And I also think, and this is just me, but a lot of politicians have made a lot of bold comments in the news about almost essentially saying that it could be the best course in South Australia. And I just think there's a lot of bold statements being made and being tossed around and not a lot of not a lot to show for it so far.
So I probably had pretty much every point that you had there, so there's no point me repeating it. Neil Crafter, who we've spoken to on this show, who is one of the most experienced and accomplished golf course architects, who works out of South Australia but works in some incredible courses right around Australia, most notably Metropolitan Golf Course. He's got his fingerprints all over. Neil Crafter looked at the plans. He made 2 points. One is that, yes, as you said, the existing corridors are being used quite a bit. He said all path threes run in exactly the same direction, and he described that very simply as poor design. And he also said, just by looking at what they're doing, give me $20 million and I could produce the golf course that you're after there. So I think that's a real sad indictment on what's going on, that we're going to get a $20 million golf course for $45 million and just have the Greg Norman stamp on it, which I've never been a huge fan of anyway. Harley Cruz, I thought was interesting, another well-known golf course architect around Australia, who said, I think it's spin decisionally well here. No matter the spend, no matter the golf course architect, and yes, the course will be far better golf offering in the Adelaide Parklands than it is currently. We all agree with that. But the reality is there are public golf courses that reside in the top 10 and top 25 very best courses on proper golf land in the country that will always be better than anything in Adelaide north of the River Torrens. Simples. I thought Ben Toohey's message was really good. Ben Toohey knows golf courses back to front, the son of Bob Toohey, who is one of the greatest names of golf in South Australia. He made the point very simply, it's all north-south, straight up and back. So the complete lack of imagination in design, he was very, very critical of it. And then I thought the other line that was interesting from Matt Molica. So the most recent Greg Norman design here is the East Course in South Australia. The East Course at the Grange Golf Club in South Australia. Matt Molica is from the Australian Golf Passport. I listen to those guys regularly. They're interesting. Don't agree with everything they say, but they've put together ratings at the moment, and they've got both Grange West and Glenelg in a space between numbers 50 and 36 in their rankings. And they said they're so close, they're not going to bother putting them in order. And that's okay. That's their choice. But Matt Molica made this point about Grange West as compared to Grange East. Grange East is the Norman course, of course. He said of Grange West, it's clearly the superior course of the two that they have there. It feels quite familiar. It'll feel quite familiar to a lot of visiting Melburnians. He's from Victoria. It feels like a piece of land that's transplanted a little bit west and a little bit north. Just a smart golf course, solid citizen, hole after hole after hole. Now, these people aren't in the business of bagging golf courses unless they're bad, right? And I don't think they're bagging Grange East as it being bad, but they're simply saying that Grange West is vastly superior to what Norman produced. Harley Cruz is saying that it doesn't really matter what you do at North Adelaide, it's very, very difficult to produce a good golf course. And then Neil Crafter is, and Ben Toohey as well, is saying it's going to be a very simplistic, very basic layout. Neil Crafter is saying that for what they plan on doing, you're spending $25 million too much, $25 million too much of public money. All of that I feel really uncomfortable about. I'd make this point, Soph. I think the Premier is a good guy and largely doing excellent things. And I also think it's great that we're investing in a golf course at North Adelaide. I would support all of those things. But he is getting terrible advice here. So he came out originally and said, and I've kept the receipts, but he came out originally and said, this is going to be one of the world's best public access golf courses. Now, he wouldn't say that unless he was getting terrible advice, because he was reminded pretty quickly, St Andrews Old Course, public access course, Pebble Beach, public access course. Mm. These courses you can, yes, it's expensive, but you can go and pay your money and play it as a member of the public. All the rhetoric last week was dialed down. It's going to be one of Australia's best public access courses. And immediately people like me said, but hang on, Barnboogle Dunes, Barnboogle Lost Farm, Cape Wickham, St Andrews Beach. I could list you 25 courses. By the time this course is ready, Kangaroo Island will be ready. And that will be a far superior public access course. So one of either two things is happening. Either he's getting ridiculously terrible advice and the people that are involved are hopelessly inept. I suspect that's more likely the case. Or they are going down, Soph, the Trumpian idea that they're just going to refuse to accept the decisions of the course raters that are probably going to come up with something that is – they're going to rate it second rate, I think. It'll be lucky to make the top 100 and it'll probably just drift out from there. Either these guys are inept or they're just going to complain about how these things are assessed and say that it is way better than what all of the general public are inevitably going to come up with.
Well, that was a speech.
A rant.
Yep, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I really agreed. I mean, I'm not a course architect, but it is a bit scary that so many of South Australia's greats who are course architects have things to say about this North Adelaide design. I mean, it's interesting Neil Crafter saying that he could do it for half the price, and I'm not surprised because when I looked at it, I thought, where is that money going? Mm. We're not tearing it up or anything like that. Like, how are we spending this much money on this golf course? I'm starting to think, like, is the driving range going to have a track man on every single station? Because now that would rack up the cost. But other than that, the actual golf course itself, I'm not that impressed, and I completely agree. And I probably got that wrong when I said that before, that he said it was going to be South Australia's one of the best courses. Maybe he was saying public access course, but I don't know. Our premier, I think, is getting bad advice, or is just making some really bold statements out of the air, but I think he's smart enough then to just do that. And he has to keep doubling down, and it's getting pretty tiresome at the moment having to listen to all this ranting and raving. And honestly, Ben, I actually do wish that this course had been designed by a South Australian architect who knows the land and knows what to do with it. And it's quite disappointing that we didn't look in our own home to see who could design this.
I understand the allure, the seduction that Greg Norman and the name Greg Norman provides if you are not completely across golf course architecture. But to just hand him essentially a blank check and the job to do it when you've got incredible people right under your nose who would do, in my opinion, a far superior job for far less money, that's an indictment on the way this has been handled. And I do fear that in 2-3 years' time when this project is finished, yes, it'll be way better than what there is currently at North Adelaide, but it'll be an enormous missed opportunity to do something really special that will attract interstate and overseas guests, and they will pay a premium for it. And we're not going to have that because of what we've got. I do think they got spooked by Frank Pangallo, who came out with his chainsaw and he does all those fancy tricks that, oh, we're going to lose 6,000 trees. And if the government had any gumption here, they would have said, yeah, might be 7,000. You know what? But we'll plant 21,000 in return. Mm-hmm. Everything will be fine. No drama. You can replace these things if you need to. But instead they've gone, oh, no, let's actually have the plans form the existing corridors and we'll have all of these narrow little holes where there's no thought, no strategy. You just got to hit it down the middle of this narrow little pencil-thin fairway and hit it up to a green. And that's going to be a $40 million course. It won't stack up.
No, completely agree. And I will argue, I get what your point is saying with, you know, most people know who Greg Norman is and like that's a standout to have his designs. But if you're a golf nuffy, most people are pretty iffy about Golf Norman designs. And if you're not a golf nuffy at all, you don't even know who Greg Norman is. So it's only actually, I think, attracting that middle range, which there's not a lot of them anyways.
Well, they don't travel, Soph. They're not going to come from, if you're a bit of a half foot in, half foot out golf person, you're not traveling from overseas or Northern Australia specifically to play the Greg Norman golf course at North Adelaide. And people don't travel for Greg Norman golf courses. I think that we just need to be very clear on that. And that's going to struggle to gain the traction, in particular when the golf course looks for everything like it's going to be pretty plain, fairly forgettable.
Exactly. And I think if you're in South Australia and you're looking to play golf on a public course, I don't think whether or not Greg Norman designed it or who designed it is really going to make a difference as to whether or not you go out and play. No, it's in the CBD. It's easy.
So, a couple of other things going on. Brooks Koepka has left LIV as of Christmas Eve. What a massive story. What a huge blow for LIV. And will be fascinating to see if he finds his way back to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I think it was about time. I think everyone predicted that this was coming. I think it's been twisted to say that he's doing it for family reasons. But honestly, I think he was pretty open at the start. The reason he went to LIV is he was injured and he thought his career was coming to an end, and he did bail out for the money, and that is for his family. But Brooks has been coming good. His body's looking way better. He's looking fitter. Every time I've gone to LIV Adelaide, he looks like he doesn't want to be there and never has looked like he wants to be there, a bit similar to John Rahm. So I'm not at all surprised. I think they've tried to twist it as best they can, say they've left amicably, but I don't think that is the case. I think he always wanted to leave. He's taking that year so that he can jump onto the PGA Tour as soon as possible.
Yeah, well, that will be the fascinating story, because there's only one organisation, Sophie, that can stop him joining the PGA Tour, and that is the PGA Tour, who will fail to get out of their own way. It is a no-brainer for maximum damage on LIV and maximum positivity for the PGA Tour that you get him back on board as soon as you possibly can. You find a way to get him in, but you know full well that all of those guys who stayed loyal are going to be demanding some sort of penalty, and they won't be able to inflict maximum damage on their greatest enemy right now, who is flailing. There's challenges for LIV, and to lose one of their biggest stars is a problem. How many of them are going to be contracted long-term? I think Bryson DeChambeau will be an interesting watch this time next year. And you lose two or three of those stars and you're only replacing them with, you know, B-grade bargain basement type guys who no one really knows. They become a non-economic proposition very, very quickly.
Yeah, it will be incredibly interesting. This next 2 years, I reckon, for LIV, like you said, a lot of people's contracts is running up. I can't wait to see what Bryson DeChambeau does. I mean, his golf has just got better since joining LIV, but I think he's missing the PGA. I think he's missing that competitiveness, because you've just seen as soon as he heads to a major, his golf game just improves so much. He wants to win those majors. And I think you really need to be on the PGA Tour, because there's only so many exemptions you can get.
And he loves the big crowds as well, Bryson. Yes. I mean, Bryson's exempt US Open 10 years, everywhere else 5 years. So he's going to be playing majors for a while regardless. But he likes the big crowds. He likes the adoration. He likes the adulation. He likes being the center of attention. And he just isn't that on LIV. That'll be an interesting watch as we head forward. Hey, one to keep an eye out on, Soph. Elvis Smiley. Big chance to be joining Ripper, I believe. So that's just one to watch in the next few days. Jack Thompson finished second at the PIF Sortie Open. He won US$110,000. That's a nice little Christmas bonus, Soph.
A massive little Christmas bonus, and I'm so happy for him. I know he struggled a bit at the Aussie Open. He missed the cut by one shot, but he looked like he was playing some really solid golf. He got a bit of the rough end of the stick in terms of the draw, got most of the wind. But even just speaking to his partner, Sarah Wilson, she was talking about how brilliant he was playing to then go the next week and come second. And he was pretty close. He only lost by one shot. I got a nasty feeling he might have three-putted the last not to force a playoff, which is a bit tough. But Ouch. Second place, an incredible achievement. And I wish him all the best for 2026. Jack Thompson is an incredible golfer.
Going to be an exciting watch. We're thrilled to see him. The boy from Port Lincoln via the Grange Golf Club. Reagan Denton has had yet another win, the Victorian Amateur. It's a wonderful story. We're so excited to see her head to the US in the middle of next year. LSU, a big chance to even maybe end up at the ANWR, the Augusta National Women's Masters. Soph, you had a conversation with her just before Christmas. Let's take a listen to that now.
I'm here with Reagan Denton, who's just had an incredible week. She's just gone and won the Victorian Amateur to cap off an amazing 2025. Reagan, can you tell us a little bit about the tournament? I know there is actually a 72-hole stroke play before you head into the Vic Am, which is all match play.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a bumpy start to the week. Didn't play super well at Commonwealth, but definitely picked it up and gained some confidence at Kingston Heath on the last two rounds where we played 36 holes in one day. Then heading into the match play, you know, I felt pretty good. I got a really good side of the draw with who my opponents were going to be, so that was really good. And I just played really steady. I didn't make any huge mistakes, and I just kind of like waited, and you know, think putts started to drop, and it was really, really good. And in the end, I got to beat Amelia Harris in the final, which was really awesome.
So am I right that the Port Phillip Hughes is 72 holes? There's a cut after 36 holes, and then from there it's the top 16 that gets into match play. So you've gone 18 holes, 36 holes, generous, they've given you a day off, and then you've gone 36 holes and then another 36. Well, you didn't quite need the full 36, did you?
No, luckily I was able to win 3 and 2, only had one match go down the last hole. But still, it is so much golf over the span of like 7 days, 6 days. So it's definitely a very long week. But, you know, luckily for me, I kind of just have, you know, my competitive drive to get me through the week. And then at the end is when I can just kind of crash.
Well, you're very much in need of a bit of a break over this festive season. Can you tell us a bit about what was the strength of your game? Like, did you have a lot of birdies out there, or how'd you go?
All week I was making lots and lots of birdies. During the stroke play, I was struggling, just making too many soft bogeys here and there. But overall, you know, it was just everything was going pretty well. My short game, my putting was pretty good, especially in the match play. That's when it started to really come out and shine. But, you know, I was hitting fairways, I was hitting greens, and, you know, everything was pretty smooth.
Well, I know you're off for a little bit of a break for Christmas and New Year, but you look like you have a pretty busy schedule. What have you got ahead of you for the New Year?
So in January, I've got Master the Amateurs, Vic Open, then Avondale, and then straight into February, I've got the Australian Amateur and Asia Pacific Amateur, where I've got 2 weeks off. But then in March, I've got the Australian Ladies Classic, fingers crossed, the Australian Open, then SA Classic, and lastly, Capera Bowl.
Just a huge, huge few months coming up for you. I know when we spoke at the Men's Aussie Open, I was hoping and fingers crossed, that at the Women's Aussie Open you will be inside the ropes. It looks like there's a couple of professional events coming in. Have you got any international ones coming up as well?
No international professional events, but I'll definitely be playing a few amateur events, hopefully in the US, some in the UK. And then later in the year, I might have the chance to play in some LET Access events in Europe, which is very exciting. So,
Reagan, thank you so much for speaking to us. Congratulations on an amazing 2025 and all the best for 2026.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations to Reagan Denton. Very excited to see where she heads in the new year, which, of course, is upon us. And so for another great interview, you're absolutely on fire with catching up with South Australia and Australia's leading golf talent. Guys, we decided over the course of the last week to focus in, as our course in focus, on the South Lakes Golf Course. 1966, it was first built. It was very clearly built for the travelling holiday golfer. We know so many Adelaideans commute down to the south coast, to Goolwa, to Victor, and take a set of clubs and have a round of golf down there. And certainly South Lakes was initially part of, that market, if you like. It has really grown to become an absolute gem of the south coast down there. It's what, about 15, 20 minutes from Victor Harbour, about an hour and 10 minutes from the Adelaide CBD. Chris Bailey is the club manager. He's been down there at 5 years. He came from Hamilton Island previously. Phil Wilson is the president. Chris Haywood is the club captain. I would just make the point that Josh Vick is on the board. Now, not everyone will know Josh Vick, but been a very, very good country footballer. I reckon he was the state country captain for a period of time, played his footy in the Southern League. So great to see that he's involved in the golf course. Steve Capon is the director of golf, and he's been an award winner at Golf Australia, South Australia Awards in the past. And Jordan Sherrod is the last name I'll pick out. He's the superintendent there, formerly a professional player himself, had some very good results in Australian Opens and state amateur titles. So Jordan Sherrod, now the superintendent down there, and by all accounts is doing a sensational job. I say by all accounts because I have never been there. And so we are bringing Wallace Long in off the bench, who has played a couple of senior rounds down at South Lakes, to give us his view on it. The course in focus, guys. Sophie Hilditch, I'll begin with you. First thoughts when you think of South Lakes.
Well, it's a shame you haven't been down there to get to play it, but there are some brilliant courses down south, but you're going to have to add it to your list, Hookie, because it's just incredible. But I will admit, I hadn't played it until Southern joined the Samson, and I travelled on down there. I think one of my first thoughts about South Lakes is how incredible their membership base is. Mm. The spread that they put on for Pennant, how proud they were for everyone to be down there. It was 7:30, I want to say, in the morning, so I'd gotten up at about 5:30, so I probably wasn't at my chirpiest.
So yes, can I just say, they were friendly and welcoming. You probably weren't quite reciprocating at 7:30 in the morning.
Not at all. I was actually in the middle of a court trial. It was my first ever trial that I'd ever been an instructing solicitor on. I'd had to call in my mother to drive me down so that I could do work in the back seat and then work on the way back. So I wasn't in the best mood. The trial was starting on the Monday. This was a Sunday. But the South Lakes membership base put a smile on my face straight away. It made me check myself. They smiled with a muffin, banana, told me that there was food after the round and alcohol, and I thought, this is the best place ever. I then had to proceed to play in some of the most craziest wind I've ever played in, but that is what makes this course so incredible. There's basically hardly any trees, so you're just exposed to the wind completely. And you go one way dead into the wind and you're thinking, I don't know if I can make my way back. And then you've just got your sails back behind you. There's cross breezes. They've got holes. We're just talking about North Adelaide, having to go straight up and straight down. South Lakes is the complete opposite. You have to do everything. And yeah, it's unbelievable.
Magnificent. Yeah, they put on they put on muffins and they put on alcohol. And Sophie's gone, yep, perfect. Hold the muffin. Send me that alcohol. Wallace Long, your overarching first thoughts whenever you've been to South Lakes?
More recently, just that it's improved out of sight. The new work that they've done under the stewardship of Jordan Sherritt's been terrific. So the greens are less thatchy. They roll beautifully. Advice to anybody playing it is to keep the ball under the hole. As Sophie said, the defence of the course is the wind. More recently, we played it in a senior order of merit and it was a three-club wind. I think the other thing to note about the course is they're doing some renovations at the moment, which will be completely finished in January, and to all accounts, they're looking really good. The fairways, the water that they've got, it's greener than I've ever seen it, and it's thoroughly enjoyable to play.
Guys, I'll just pick on something that I've read. I sort of had a flip through the Google reviews, so I haven't seen the course. It's impossible for me to describe. As I said, I don't really know, except for Jordan and Josh Vick, I don't really know anyone that's involved in the club. But I read through some Google reviews of people who'd been there, and every single one of them said, so friendly, everyone's so welcoming. You get to the pro shop and they treat you like they're your best friend. You go into the bar and the bar staff are incredible. The restaurant, the food is good quality. It's not too expensive. You all three of us have been to clubs, maybe some fairly top-end clubs, where you walk in there and you feel like you've got to walk on eggshells, that you don't really belong. Isn't it great that we've got this club down south that is just so incredibly welcoming? And no one can dispute that, because everything I've read about South Lake says it's as the most welcoming, friendly, inviting place that you could possibly turn up to.
Well, they give you muffins on the first tee.
Muffins and alcohol. Yeah. Did they give you the alcohol on the first tee or the 18th green, Soph?
I wish they gave it to me on the first tee. I think I might have needed it on the first tee. 18th green. I had to win my match before I got my alcohol, and I had to wait for my team to win their matches too before we got our alcohol. Well, actually, I think at that time my team was all under 18 apart from me. So only me. Only me was allowed alcohol.
Alcohol for five, and mum drove you home.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're sort of talking glowingly here about it. Have you got a favourite hole, Soph?
Yeah, look, my favourite hole is probably the second. I actually think it starts really strong at South Lakes. I love all the first few five holes I really enjoy. But the second's a short par four, only about 112 metres, I want to say, but it's very, very narrow fairway. You've got two pesky bunkers in the middle of the fairway in a lot of our, you know, shorter hitters direct on our like little line and our landing zone. You have out of the bounds on the left. The green is slightly raised, falls off either side. I think there might be some bunkering from memory, but it's just it's a tough hole. It's a bit of a risk-reward hole. You always have a short club in, but you can't quite see exactly what the green complex is doing as you're hitting your approach shot. I love it, particularly tricky. I love a short par four that is a bit of a challenge. Whilst it might look easy when you're standing on the tee, this hole is definitely not easy.
Wallace?
My favourite hole, Ben and Sophie, is hole 7, which is a 381-metre par 4 off the whites. Dogleg left, out of bounds left, which I've spent a fair amount of time over there. I can't believe that I'm actually saying it's my favourite hole, but I do love the challenge of it. Bunkers at driving distance.
You've teed off a lot there. You tee off twice. There's a story. Once with your first stroke and once with your third stroke.
Well, there's a story to be told another time. Yeah, bunkers at driving distance, and it's a big green, falls from the back to the front. You've just got to actually play it really smart. So either come up short, you know, knock a longer iron in, or give the bunkers a go.
Hey, the other great news about South Lakes guys, and we're, I guess, hardcore golfers, if you like, but not everyone's the same as us. And one of the most inclusive facilities going around, they've just added a Shanks putt-putt, for want of a better term, facility. I've had a look at the elevation of it. It is just superb. Yeah, probably not for me as a market, but, you know, in a couple of years' time, I might take my daughter there or something like that. It's just such good whole family entertainment.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect market for people going down to their holiday houses or just going down south for a bit of a trip. It's great for young kids. I reckon Molly will completely enjoy Shanks. Like you said, probably not aimed at someone like me, but I've definitely been to Shanks down at Regency Park with a lot of my friends who were starting golf for the first time. I hate golf. I suck at it. I can't line up. I can't do aim point. I think it's the worst thing ever. But it is really good fun for beginners, for families, just looking out there to have a bit of a, I think, well, we've spoken about it recently. I think I'm a massive advocate that golf is not just 18 holes. Golf is a lot of different things. And this is one of them. Putt-putt is definitely still golf. And I think it's a really good fun activity if you're heading down south for the festive break.
Yeah, well done. Wallace, you a Shanks man?
I was a putt-putt growing up for sure. We had windmills and dinosaurs and things like that in my day. I think the one thing about South Lakes is they're clearly very progressive in regards to the work that they're doing. You know, bringing Chris on board, who's had that experience at Hamilton Island. So bringing Shanks in, they obviously moved their putting green, and that's now open on the other side of the first tee. They've also got their new hitting nets are open, and also their chipping and short game will be open in January. So I think it's holistically as a club, and I, you know, as Sophie was saying, they're so welcoming. I think they are looking at all the ways they can bring people in and share that experience. I know from a dining point of view, the food's terrific. And also the other thing is that they'll have over 200 people on a Thursday and Friday night most of the summer, in fact, most of the year. So if you are down there, you need to book in early.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, and that Neil Crafter, that name again, has been involved in some minor redesigns of the course just to solve some issues with proximity to housing. So making sure that the playing corridor is away from the housing areas, it can get a little bit tight with those sorts of things. So Neil Crafter, if you know that he's got his fingerprints on it, is going to be a very, very enjoyable course. And how about this? 18 holes, $60. You know, that is just wonderful value. And the Shanks mini golf fees, adults $19, juniors, is it 7 to 15 years of age, is $15. And for kids under 6, it's free with a paying parent or guardian. So a lot of reasons to get down to South Lakes. I know that plenty of you are going to be travelling down there either in the next few days or in the new year. So we can only encourage you to wander down to Goolwa. If you're a holidayer down there, make sure you put it on your bucket list to play South Lakes Golf Course. It is one that I need to put on my bucket list myself. Incredible experience. Whether you are a really good golfer or a new beginner to the game, South Lakes is very, very amenable to both the new golfer and the experienced golfer as well. So we would absolutely encourage you to have a crack, guys.
100%.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Well, I reckon that wraps us up for another episode. Hope everyone enjoyed their Christmas. Looking forward to catching you up in the new year. We are hopeful, Sophie, of trying to do a bit of a year in review, just look at all of the most amazing things in South Australian sport, maybe our top 10. We'll try and find some time in your very, very busy schedule with your mother-in-law doing all of the cooking, I'm sure, to see if we can get a half hour of your time again to record a little chat. But great to have you on board, Wallace. Always appreciate your opinion when we get you involved. Great to have your thoughts on South Lakes. We will see you guys maybe later in the week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great new year if I don't speak to you before then.
You too, Soph. All the best, Ben.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked on Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked on Sport.